Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Do you realize that you have found that fulfillment? Many of you, I hope, this weekend. How beautifully the words of the scriptures have come to us in what we have to almost sometimes say just profound divine coincidence. Actually, the old phrase that there's no such thing as coincidence, it's just God acting anonymously, I like over a lot. It is the beautiful words of the first reading from Nehemiah that kind of puts us on our path. This profound reverence the people had. They heard God speaking to them. And what did they do? They were weeping. They went on their faces prostrate before the priest Ezra was reading the word of God. And they were saying, he says, "Do not be sad in this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." I think that's a word that I wish we all can take today. Do not be sad in this day, for rejoicing in the Lord may be your strength. You know, in that same way then, we walk into the gospel and we hear literally, as I said, I think this is such a profound reading. In the opening prayer, it talked about the power of Jesus' name. Did you catch that? In the opening prayer? Coincidence? No. God acting wonderfully and a profound gift. But then we hear what Jesus, the scroll is unrolled. What did he say? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." Okay? The poor. What did Mother Teresa say? The poor were the spiritually poor. Those of us who struggle under the weight of bondage. There's a poverty of spirit, a poverty of the love of God, a poverty of the closeness of God, a poverty of the merciful, loving Father. You know, and so, yeah, we're all the spiritually poor. And so he comes, and I pray that this weekend you've experienced, heard the gladness of the Lord proclaiming to us poor. He has sent to proclaim liberty to captives, liberty, freedom. That's what this is all about, the freedom in Christ. You know, and it's Christ who says he comes to bring freedom to captives, to those held captive by unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. And recovery of sight to the blind. Who were the blind? But those of us who couldn't see the enemy working in our lives, who haven't been able to see that he's had a finger under our hurts and has been aggravating us and influencing our actions and our thoughts for a long time, perhaps. We can see that now. But we can also see the power of God working in our midst. We can also see the power of God shining forth in our life. What a great thing to be able to see. Recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Again, the oppressed by the burdensome lies of the spirit, of the enemy spirits. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful gift. We finish now our talks with what's called the Father's blessing. The Father's blessing is the great gift for us to seek and to receive. All blessing is from the heart of God. You know, what is a blessing? But a blessing is literally the speaking of goodness or of God's heart into somebody else's heart. You know, what does God want to you to see, to hear? What is in his heart for you? A blessing is speaking what the Father has in his heart for you. You know, what a beautiful gift that is. Out of our heart, our mouths speak. What is in the heart of the Father? What is in the heart of the Father? When we speak a blessing, literally the word blessing means in Hebrew a good word. You know, we speak God's heart and his thoughts into another person. In blessing, we speak the thoughts of God into the heart of another. You know, what a beautiful thing to do. Oh, nuts. I forgot something again. I can't leave the Mass. There is a consistency here, isn't there? You know, we all have our weaknesses. I just have a big box of them. Neil Lozano has written a story of a blessing for a children's book. So I think they might have it at Gloria Deo. I'm not sure. Doris, do they have it there? They do. So you can stop by Doris's at the Gloria Deo and you can pick it up there or look at it. But it is that real sense of God's blessing in our lives. You know, Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fertile and multiply." What does he say? Immediately, God blessed them. He spoke goodness into them. And what he saw was so wonderful, he says, be fertile and multiply. The very gift of human life. You know, when God said, he said, fill the earth and subdue it. He said, have dominion over the fish and the sea and the birds of the air and all the living things that crawl on the earth. The Father speaks from his heart overflowing with delight. You know, he said, at each end of each day, he says, and everything he made was, it was good, and it was good, and it was good. Then after he made man and woman, he says, and he looked at all things he had created and saw it was very good. It was very good. Let that sink into your hearts. God looked and he saw in the first man and woman, he saw all of us. He saw every human being. That's why he says, multiply. I love you. I love my creation. I love you. Multiply. What a beautiful gift. You know, that the Father says, they're very good. You know, that's in the heart of the Father. That's the blessing of the heart of the Father, is to see, because he sees our hearts. He sees who we really are. And he sees that all of us is such a very, very goodness in us, because he made it there. He put it there. God blessed us in Adam and declared all very good. God looked, Genesis 1:31, at everything he had made and found it very good after he had made man and woman. You know, the Father speaks that to you also. And this great gift of the blessing of Neil speaks about on kind of a little bit of a page early on. He kind of summarized the whole book, I think, in the early part. Page 29 and 30. If he says, freedom from the influence of evil spirits is not an end in itself. Receiving the full blessing God has given us in his Son and becoming his disciples. Deliverance releases us from bondage into blessing. The Hebrew sense of blessing, Baruch, is meant to empower someone to prosper, to succeed, and to thrive. All blessing finds its source in God. After creating man and woman on the sixth day, God blessed them and said to them, be fertile and multiply. To speak blessing is to be God's instrument. To speak blessing is to be God's instrument. The most crucial thing about this is the idea is you are meant to receive God's blessing so that you can give God's blessing. All of you are called to be a source of blessing to others and receive his blessing and to be a source of blessing to others. In biblical times, a spoken blessing was meant to bring protection and help on a journey. It was meant to provide grace for life's journey. A blessing means to speak well of a person. It's the opposite of a curse. Remember we talked about a curse? Blessing is the opposite. Blessing is speaking goodness in a person. Think of how people light up when you speak of their goodness. When you speak goodness into them. You know, people just respond. Because it's a blessing. Speaking the goodness into them. A blessing means to speak well of a person. That's what's a simple thing to do, to speak blessing into our children, into our parents, our friends, to speak wellness, to speak well of a person. Awareness of God's blessing and our need to bless others was so deeply rooted in ancient Jewish culture that the word shalom is still used as a form of greeting. Shalom means peace, completeness, harmony, health, and welfare. It's summarized in the godly plan identified in Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Here the word shalom is translated to the phrase plans for welfare and not for evil. The blessing of God. You know, what a gift that God gives to us in so many ways, and that he wants us to share. He wants us to share in his goodness. He wants to share in us in his blessing others. You know how a different a life can be when we speak well of others and speak wellness into them. You know, affirming them and giving them. Because what happens is whenever we speak blessing, we are blessed also. We are blessed in blessing. You know, I remember experiencing that one time as a young priest. And I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but it was, I like to ask the children to always ask the priest for blessing, you know, to always ask the priest for blessing. And I'm not sure where I was with something, but I was very, very just desolation and extreme heavy desolation. And all I know was as I gave the blessing, it was gone. I realized that, wow, I'm blessed in giving blessings, in blessing the blessing of a priest. And what a beautiful thing it is to be able to give that. The Father imparted his blessing to Jesus throughout his life to confirm his identity and his destiny. Okay? Those two elements are what a blessing includes, identity and destiny. You know, God has planned for the family and the church to be speak blessing onto us. That's what a family is a big part of family is to speak blessing into our children so that they learn how to speak blessing to their children and to the people around them. The church, to speak blessing and give blessing to you. Why do you think everything always ends with a blessing? This is part of the very life of the church, is to be bless you, is to give you, speak that wellness into you and that goodness of God's love into you. At his conception, Luke chapter 1, 29, 34, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. There's his identity. He will be great. He'll be called Son of the Most High. That's who Jesus is. It was the blessing given to through Mary, through the angel, to Mary upon Jesus. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end, his destiny. His very incarnation, his very existence as man began with the blessing of who he was, his identity, and what his destiny was. And that's for all of us. During Mary's pregnancy, she goes to visit Elizabeth. And filled with the Holy Spirit, in verse 42, chapter 1, Luke, she cries out in a loud voice, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Immediately happens is Elizabeth blesses Jesus. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. So we can bless God. You know, I had a great experience one time at the Methodist Church in Harvard. I went to a funeral there, and at the little dinner, the luncheon afterwards, they had these little placemats, and they had the meal prayers, before meal prayers, for different religions. You know, they had the Catholic prayer, and they had the Orthodox prayer, the Lutheran prayer, and the Baptist prayer, and the Methodist prayer, the Protestant prayer, and they also had the Jewish prayer. And they were all exactly almost the same, real similar wording, almost, you got to go about the same idea, except the Jewish prayer. It was different. And the Jewish prayer was, instead of saying, "Bless us, Lord, and bless our food, and bless this, and bless that," it was, "We bless you, O God, for all that you have done and given us." Just the opposite. "We bless you, God." You know, Elizabeth did that. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb. For who am I, the mother of my Lord, should come to me?" She knew, and she blessed God in the womb of Mary, as a tiny little fetus. At his birth, what happens? The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all your people. For today in the city, a Savior is born for you, who is Messiah and Lord," his identity. At his presentation in the temple, Luke chapter 2, we see it again. Simeon speaks identity and destiny. "Mine eyes have seen your salvation, a light to Gentiles." Okay, my salvation, His identity, my Savior, and his destiny, a light to Gentiles. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall, destiny for the fall and rise of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be contradicted," his destiny. You know, so always a blessing is who are you and what are you supposed to do in this life? Your destiny, you know, to be a father, to be a loving father, to be a loving mother, to be a protector of your children, your wife and your spouse, to be a leader of your family, to be a prayer warrior, to be an intercessor, to be a healer. You know, your identity and your destiny. At his baptism, we heard the most powerful words of God the Father in heaven personally speaking to Jesus, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Remembering also that God speaks that into our hearts. And we should be able to hear that also with Jesus, because Jesus carried us in our hearts and he's looking upon all that we would become as heirs of his kingdom, as brothers and sisters of Christ. So the Father spoke those words at that point upon us also, and we should be able to hear them. "You are my beloved son and daughter. We are all sons in the Son," St. Paul tells us. "With you I am well pleased." At his transfiguration, we see happening. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, and with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Again, the Father continues to bless his Son, continues to bless him. "My beloved Son." How wonderful, you know, that he speaks that also to us. God doesn't stop whispering to us. We just oftentimes haven't heard it. And we need to realize and hear it also. We need to receive blessing at major points of our life. Even if you didn't hear it, the Father still spoke them, and they are eternally present and available to us even now. You know, the big points of Jesus' life: when he was conceived, when he was brought to the temple, when he started his public ministry, when he was going to Jerusalem. Every time the blessing came at an important point in his life. And God is there blessing us also. On the day you were born, on the day you were conceived, on the day you were baptized, on the day you were married, on the day you were confirmed and had First Communion, God was there speaking blessing upon you. And we need to allow ourselves to hear it. And it's still available to us. It's been waiting to enter our hearts in a deeper way. It touched us at that moment. But now, as we are aware that his blessing has been spoken over us, we can receive it with even greater depth and greater appreciation. These same blessings now belong to us as we identify with him. On that day, this comes from John chapter 14, verse 20. "On that day you will receive, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you." Think for a moment of your closeness to the Father. Jesus is in his Father, and you are in Jesus, and he is in you. How much closer can you get? Really? What an amazing thing. God himself said this. Jesus said this. Jesus is in the Father, and you are in Jesus, and he is in you. What did he say? "On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you." You know, just even holding those words in our mind, repeating them over and over, that's Lectio Divina. Just slowly going over those words, letting them sink into us. I'd love to explain Lectio Divina kind of like sitting in a hot tub of God's loving word. Just let it soak. Just kind of soak in it, you know? Isn't that a great way to think about praying? Getting in a hot tub? Some people might do that, but really that's what it is. It's soaking the loving warmth of God. I mean, that's what the scriptures and love of God is meant to be, to embrace us in that way. John chapter 17, verse 23. "And I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me." Jesus speaking of his Father, that you, Heavenly Father, love them even as you loved me. He's equating the love given to us by the Father. That the Father loves you just as he loves him. What a beautiful, what a gift. What a gift from God. Satan attempts to rob us of our freedom by attacking our identity and our life purpose, just as he did with Jesus. What had happened in the temptation just after the baptism, right after God the Father blessed him? What happens in the temptation desert? "If you are the Son of God," remember he says twice, "if you're the Son of God," he attacked his identity immediately. "Command these stones become loaves of bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered and said, "Again, as written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then Satan asks him to worship him. And Jesus says, "The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." You know, if Jesus was tried, we will be tried. Jesus said so. He said, "If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also." But he also says, "Do not fear the world. Do not fear the world, for I have overcome the world." He's the victor. He's overcome the world. The test is not for God, to find out what's in your heart, but for you to find out what's in his heart. For you and what's in your heart. He knows what's in his heart. He knows what's in our heart. But it's for us to find out. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Now, Satan presents the lie of rejection to us when we are corrected. Sometimes we get corrected on things. And if our identity and destiny are not valued and affirmed, we kind of vacillate between the extremes of self-righteousness and self-reliance, and rules out, and we give up in hopelessness. You know, and so he does that. He attacks our identity, the very source of who we are. You know, as a good mom. You know, how many mothers struggling, trialing, will say, "I'm a horrible mother." That's your identity. That's what the enemy's attacking. You know, or "I'm struggling with this," and so we can beat ourselves up, and the enemy jumps right on. He's just on the back of the truck, and we don't know he's there. Till we blow out a flat tire, maybe we might check then. But we were carrying so many of them around all the time. He attempts to bring bondage through lack of blessing in childhood. Okay? Realize that. It's we have to go down to the roots to pull out the plant. And just as a matter of fact, it's just the reality. Most of it starts when we were wounded in our childhood. Now, it's not that our mother and parents went around trying to hurt us, but realize our moms and dads weren't perfect. We don't have any perfect moms and dads. I suspect you might not be perfect either, but you know, you might be a few here. But that reality is just reality. It's how it is, you know. But think about it. What is, I mean, in a bigger picture kind of way, why did God allow us to have imperfect parents and allow us to get hurt and wounded? Who do we find in the wounds? Jesus? You see, it wasn't all for no reason. God didn't plan it that way, but he allows it because he knows only God, paragraph, I think it's 312 and 412 in the catechism, says that only God can bring, St. Thomas Aquinas says it, can bring a greater good out of every evil. That's the only reason why he allows evil, because he can bring a greater good out of it. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Not easy, but in the process, we become holy and we realize who God is. We stand against the schemes of the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6:11, we talked about this morning. By taking responsibility for our own lives, we don't blame our parents, but take up the hope and power offered us in Jesus Christ. You know, the simple thing is blessings drive away insecurity and fear. When you're blessed in your identity and your destiny, guess what? You're not insecure anymore. You lose some of that insecurity. You lose some of that fear because somebody said, "No, you did a great job at that," or "No, you're a great typist," or "You're a great singer," or "You're a great you make great hand woodwork," you know, or "You do a great job of helping out all the time after Mass," or at the parish, or at work. You know, you can always count on it. Somebody says that to you, it builds you up, doesn't it? It's affirming your identity of who you are as being generous or being gifted with things from God. Yes, blessing strengthens us. And many times we didn't hear that. Mom and Dad never said, "You know what? You got a great potential. You're going to be a great doctor, a great lawyer, a great farmer." We never heard that. Not always. Some did. God bless you. Maybe you do that for your children too, but not everybody did. Not everybody heard the blessings that we're going to be this. We all at times we heard the stuff that we're not going to be, perhaps. Or maybe we just never said anything. They just never came to their mind. But that's part of life. But know that God was saying that. God knew, and he was saying that. The Father was. God wants us to learn how to bless others because blessings are incomplete until they are given to someone else. So when we receive blessing, we need to start giving blessing because that's what, in a sense, embeds it. Because if we're worthy to receive, we cannot give what we cannot receive, and we cannot receive what we cannot give. So it can't stop. We have to be able to receive the blessing. We have to be able to give the blessing. If we can't give it, it makes it hard to receive it, right? We can't give what we can't receive. And so, yeah, it's a very simple reality. Maybe it's just, it can be the most simplest things that can give people that blessing. The meaningful touches, hugs, and spoken words of the family blessing are important. By them, parents envision and speak identity, priceless value, and a future for their children. The remembered and shared family stories add to a child's identity and bring him or her to know that they belong, that they belong. God has been whispering to you and speaking to you about who you are, and he wants you to be free to claim who you really are. We need to be aware of looking into God's heart for what he has for other people. Then try and give that to them. You know, Neil has the great story of in his talks about being in a restaurant with this one other minister from another religion, and he said, this guy just had just a gift. He says, after we're there, he says, you would have thought the waitress walked away like she had a $1,000 tip. You know, but he just spoke blessing in everyone. You know, what a beautiful thing. You know, so I ask you, in my own life, after going through these things, I kind of realized, looking for those blessings, you know, realizing, did I ever receive a blessing? You know, and one kind of popped up when I was praying about it one time. Actually, a number of the things I've talked about and graces I received came from actually going through the workbook out there after watching this video series and praying each day. It has one little page and reflection questions. That's where many of the healings and the graces I received came from. This was another, asking, you know, where have you been blessed? You know, where did your family bless you? And immediately this memory came to mind. Well, wow, maybe that's true. So I ask you, listen with a parent's heart for a moment. When I was 5, I got hit by a car running across the road in front of my mom by someone trying to miss our dog. She's got me in the right place at the right time, I guess. When I was 8, I got diabetes. When I was 10, I got run over by a tractor and broke my femur. And 2 weeks after getting off crutches, I got knocked into a grain auger. And by the grace of God and my awesome guardian angel, did not lose my foot or leg, but had it crushed and needed 49 stitches. When I was told to write during my discerning my vocation, I wrote all these things down. And suddenly, for the first time in almost 20 years, I heard my father in tears saying at my bedside, I don't know how you are alive. God must have some plan for you. I found out he did. My father had unknowingly blessed me profoundly, acknowledging that my destiny was in God's hands. Never doubt the power of a parent's blessing at any age. At any age. Many, many people live yearning for their father's blessing. They can be 50 years old, 20 years old, or 80 years old, still wanting to have the blessing of their father, of their mother, yearning for it, trying to get their blessing, their approval. It works at any age. Never doubt the power of a parent's blessing, of your blessing, that acknowledges God's thoughts, God's loving desires for your children, your siblings, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors and acquaintances of any kind. We learn to bless others by taking up our freedom in Christ. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can hear the Father's whisper, we can know our true identity, and we can be confident of our destiny. Jesus, our deliverer, has come to set us free. He brings us to the Father's house and restores all that was taken from us. We need to be aware of looking into God's heart for what he has for other people. You know, when I use the 5 keys and sometimes don't feel free yet, I usually remember that I forgot to claim the Father's blessing. And simply after doing that, I'll say, you know, that I'm a beloved son of the Father. You know, and I belong to him. The pink sheet that I put back there has a few things. I spoke with the Lozanos, and they kind of shared with this me. They says, you know, well, you can ask the Father's blessing, but he says it's always great to receive it with somebody else in prayer. But he says, one, you can ask the Father for blessing, and then just be silent and receive it. He says you can also ask the Holy Spirit and the Father to send his Holy Spirit of love into those places of your heart that need to be blessed, or that where you just renounce something from your life, to fill those areas with his Holy Spirit, with his love, and then receive it. But he also says you can also receive that blessing by going to some of the scriptures that speak about our identity in Christ, about who you are, your identity. And that's what I have on the back. I found a website that had a list of them, kind of gave a little summary statement, but you can look up the verses yourselves. And it's a great way to pray and to receive the Father's blessing also. But don't forget about that. You know, one, the first key, repentance and faith, forgiveness, renouncing the command of authority, and the Father's blessing. You got to have him there. You got to receive the blessing. Even if you're doing a battle, a lot of times we'll think, I got to renounce that. But we always have to think, do I got to forgive somebody? Do I need to repent? You know, because really, if there's something involved there, we got to do all five keys. Unless it's just strictly an immediate attack that we know it's just coming at us, we can renounce that. Give the Father's blessing. Listen to the Father whisper his blessing to you over your life and your family. Remember the Father's whispers, and as he continues to do so throughout your life, then you could hear them, and when you could not, knowing that you are a beloved son and daughter of God, that he has blessed you, have been blessing you even in difficult times. We need to seek and to receive and to give the blessings of the Father. You know, and so this great gift we receive, and that heart open to receiving the blessing of the Father and to giving that blessing. That's really what this is all about. You know, Neil says, the hall of the unbound, all the five steps, is about to open us to receive the Father's blessing. That's really what it all is. And so I ask you to please stand. Heavenly Father, you look upon these beloved sons and daughters of yours. You see them each. You know their names. You know their lives. And looking at them each, you remember the moment that you created them, the moment they were conceived, and you rejoiced at that moment in each one of them. You rejoiced in the openness of their parents to life. You rejoiced in the very gift of life that they would be in all their lives. You saw them as infants born, and you rejoiced with the angels and showed them who it was and what their name was. And you told the angels their name, and you rejoiced over them because you saw all that was going to happen in their lives and how they were going to receive your blessing and be a blessing to others. And you saw in the moments of their struggles, as infants perhaps, as young children, you saw them in need of love, and you were there to embrace them, to wipe away the tears in their eyes, to tell them they were strong young men and beautiful young ladies, as they yearned to hear it from their fathers and mothers, but maybe didn't. Father, you look upon them now, and even though they struggled in times and maybe got lost in different directions, they heard your voice, and they heard your voice even to this weekend. And you walked with them as beautiful young men and women, and as mothers and fathers, you rejoice in them, and you continue to rejoice in them, and you long to hear from their hearts. You long to hear their voice, and you rejoice in the moments that they struggled because you know they called out to you and you were there to hear them. In those moments where they were broken and hurt perhaps and lost the security of their love, of the love that you have for them, fill them with that now, Lord, Heavenly Father. Let them know that they are your beloved sons and daughters forever, forever and ever. Embrace them in the loving embrace of a Heavenly Father. Strengthen them with your heavenly love. Draw them closer to your love through your Son, Jesus, whom they have embraced and followed in their life. Strengthen them in their marriages, Father, because you know you are the source of all that comes forth from their life, all the good. Fill them with goodness, Father. Fill them with the love that you have for your Son. And fill them with that Holy Spirit. And allow them to be immersed in the warmth of that burning fire of the love of the Sacred Heart of your Son. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the many ways you speak blessing upon us in the goodness of our lives, or who we are and what we're called to be as sons and daughters of a Father who loves us in heaven.